I feel a little, just a little rusty. It's been, I retired on September 1st last year, and you're my first kind of group to address, so it's very fun, and I am so honored to be here. I know there's some big shoes that have been your teachers before, and I hope I can even come close to filling those. But I have a very fun research topic, and all I need to do is probably say one sentence, and you could all take over with your stories, because everybody has an opinion on screens. And I've talked to many of you already, and I'm so impressed. Had a feeling I was preaching to the choir, because many of you have practiced either this lifestyle or something similar, or done limitations. So, you know, my first thought was, oh gosh, well, you already know this stuff. But then I thought how relieved many of my TV-free families were to find out that there were a lot of other people making this choice, and sometimes keeping it very quiet. And those who are TV-free probably know why. In fact, just show of hands, anybody grow up or raise their kids or have a few years at least without TV in their life? Anybody in here? Okay, a few of you. How about the rest of you? What have been sort of the, let me just ask some questions. Have there been any limitations for your kids? TV before homework, et cetera, just something? Okay. So, you know, it's all over the board. And what I think I'd like to do today is try to whip through my research, hopefully take half hour or less, and then just open it up, because it'll be very fun to hear your thoughts and feelings and reservations, maybe you know, concerns, etc. And what I hope to do is just paint a picture, a rich, thick, descriptive picture of life without TV, because that's what the book did. And I'll kind of tell you the story a little bit as we go through a few slides. Okay. Oh, by the way, the artist's depiction there of the kid, can you see what the little kids are sitting on? And I was, probably my biggest honor was Time Magazine did a big story on this, and that was the artist's, the Time Magazine's artist, who then gave me a printed copy of the original, which is hanging in my house. I just loved it, and he was a young guy, had a young family, and as the years went by, he became completely TV-free. It was just kind of, you know, all these things that you affect people's lives and you never know it. But he was a Canadian, just a wonderful kid that did that. So let's just take a look here. So why is TV America's primary entertainment choice? We do know this fact, that 99% of Americans do watch TV and watch an average of 4.5 hours plus 4 additional hours with other screens. And that varies a few hours plus and minus depending on the age. But in other words, it's a whale of a lot of time.
Is that every day?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's per day.
And
per day.
From what is this from?
These are
Nielsen statistics. Or?
Nielsen statistics. It's from the Pew Research Charitable Trust Foundation. It's from.
What year?
Oh, these are 2010, right here. I'm going to give you some 11, 12, 13 statistics, 8 or. But so this is just a tiny bit dated, and I'm afraid it's going up. So
yeah, that's
why you
that's
asked.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah. So my question was, what do those other people do? I mean, my field was in recreation management. A lot of my students would work at camps and run camps, and so I love your setting, and I know what a camp setting does. So I'm already very much aware of the benefits of not watching TV. So I wanted to find out if there are people in America that don't have a television, what do they do with 4.5 hour extra hours a day? The ones who unplug. I don't know if you can catch an idea of what's going on here. For some of us, it could be very difficult to live without TV. Actually, he's quite a clever man to figure that all out, without moving a muscle and walking his dog and still paying attention to his show. Anyway, let's hope I'm not meaning to promote this idea. Even though we had a neighbor, I saw the other day an elderly gentleman that had a long leash on his dog, and he was driving his pickup around our block watching the little dog. And
Anyway.
So TV free families, you're saying, you must be joking. Well, in this study I did, there ended up being 1,200 TV-free men, women, and children who took a 100-question, 22-page-long demographic survey. They were from 43 states. Their reasons were basically very simple, manageable, and compelling. As I mentioned, Time did a story, and some of you might be familiar when Katie Couric was on the Today Show. If you were TV-free, you'd have to figure out who the heck's Katie Couric, but she was very famous. And she actually, they contacted me to come on the show, and the funny thing before this interview, we're chatting away, and she and Matt Lauer, her anchor host, are talking on TV, and she says, yeah, we're having this professor come on and talk about research with TV-free families, and she looks to Matt Lauer on live TV and says, you know, I thought of doing that. I thought of taking my girls off TV. But then she sort of says, but it wouldn't have been a good career move, would it? And everybody's laughing about that. So she was warm and genuine. And a little segue here. I in this time, the heyday of the research about 2001, 2002, there were probably 23 or 4, you know, people in media that interviewed me, whether it was TV or newspaper or magazine or radio. And we'd get to talking about it, and I took a note once, 23 out of those 25 people either reduced television a lot or didn't even watch it. And I said to the person, the producer of the Today Show, I said, I should do a study on that. Mm-hmm. You know, all the people in media that don't watch it, and she says, shh, shh, shh. So they kind of already know the secret that there's a lot, sometimes a lot better things to do with their life. But in a nutshell, the TV-free families thought no TV was no big deal. We not only survive, we thrive. So who are they? And to give you a little background on the study, I just took a 1-quarter sabbatical, 11 weeks, and I thought, well, you know, just do an interview format. I was told I might get a dozen families or so, and I thought that'll be kind of fun to do and try to write a synopsis of what I found out. So I put an ad in Parents Magazine, in a magazine called China Berry Book Club, and then there was a TV-free America newsletter way back then, and they were going to put it out, and they guaranteed me a dozen families. I thought, oh, great, that'll be fun. Put it out there. You know, Parents has, you know, a million population reach, just huge reach, and within 3 or 4 days of this going out, I had over 500 families contact me because there was an email they left online. And back then, it was like this long link, you know, you can't just say barbbrocktv.com. It's, you know, all these things. And I thought, oh, nobody's going to respond to that. And had over 500 families. So I weeded them out by contacting them and saying, I need you to, you know, email me some details and their address and a few other things. So that cut a few more out, but still about 400 families actually signed up and wanted to be a part of it. And they took this survey. Now, it might have been Michael I was talking to where I said, you know, 22-page survey. And if anybody does research, they know that a 30% response rate is fabulous. You know, you're so lucky. I'm not kidding, I had a 72% response rate. So I say that to my friends and they go, well, yeah, I don't have a TV, there's nothing better to do than these 20 pages of surveys. But what I did find out is that these folks making this choice had never really been asked why. And they were passionate about their choice. And there were 3 essays at the end of the survey, and I had 500 pages of data from their stories. And one of the men, back, they were emailing me back and forth, I can't wait, you know, I've never heard this study, I'm the only person I know, we're the only family I know that doesn't have a TV. And one gentleman texts me, or writes me this actual statement. He says, who are we anyway? Are we a bunch of Lola Granolas, high and holy snots, or normal Joes? And that was my big question on this survey, because I thought I'd find a lot of very ultra conservative or maybe religious or off the grid, or, you know, I didn't know any other families without it. I'm kind of telling you a secret right now. I am not in the survey, but we've not had one for 30 years, and our kids are 21 and 25, so I always thought it was really a good idea, but I'd say something to friends, and they'd go, you don't have a TV. you know, it's a big shock. So 80%, in a nutshell, these are the three things that I think were most significant. 80% of TV-free families felt their marriages were stronger. 70% felt their kids got along better. And I can attest to that because I have two very different children, 4 years apart. And I swear, you know, they would have fought like cats and dogs had they had to fight over the remote. But they were so bored, they went outside and played with each other. So, you know, you can find things like that. And then when asked if they ever regretted their decision, nearly 9 of 10 said they never had regretted that decision. So those alone made me think, wow, that was a big choice. One man simply wrote, "We haven't watched TV for more than 16 years, not out of a statement against society or any overt religious injunction, but just a simple desire to have more meaningful marriage and family in the face of a busy life." So 10 questions were answered. I'm going to answer 3 for you today. But if you're interested in following up on some of these, it was they're all detailed in a book, which I didn't even bring a copy of. I'm sorry. But I can tell you how to get it, or I can send you one easily. But I found out, who are these people? What do they do with that time? How can they possibly keep up with news and sports? You know, this was a big question. Do they substitute internet and computer for TV? So people are going, oh, yeah, they don't watch TV, but they're on the internet 10 hours a day. You know, we found that out, that they weren't. I'll get to that in a minute. Are their children any different, academically, physically, or socially? Do they feel they're missing out? Who are the children's heroes? How satisfied with life are they? Why did they decide to turn it off, and how do they keep it off? So in the study and in the book, these questions are answered. So when, let's take number 2. What did they do with all that free time? Because that's always the first question asked. If they find out you don't have a TV, it's, what do you do? No. So kids, reading was first, fantasy play was second. And one of my favorite quick stories to tell on this is a mother was taking her 3-year-old who watched Little Mermaid about 2 or 3 times a day. Loved Little Mermaid. Had all the songs, knew all the characters. So the mom puts the blanket over the TV. And the little girl, 3, goes up to it and she starts crying. She's rubbing her head against the screen. You know, where are my friends? And all these things. And the mom just said stuck it out. She said, if anybody can handle 20 minutes of whining, your child will find something to do, which is a mantra for many parents if they've just decided to turn it off. But it's true. Anyway, she said after a while, she let her quit crying, and it got real quiet in the house. If you have a 3-year-old, you know that's maybe something to worry about. So she walked to the back of where her bedroom, and her little girl had gotten out all her scarves and nightgowns and had them all on, and she was being Ariel, the main character in this movie, and she was singing the songs. And the mother said it was like walking into a studio. You know, her little girl didn't want her to watch. The little girl was so caught up in this fantasy play. It was really pretty cool to see. Adults, reading was first and talking was second. That's a novel idea. Meaningful conversation with kids was 60 minutes a day with spouse or partner, 48 minutes a day. And believe it or not, the national average, and this is an older statistic, probably about 2003 or 4, but the national average of meaningful conversation with kids and parents is 38 minutes a week. So it was a tenfold increase in conversation. Community service was huge, and probably a ton of you are involved in that. I mean, you're up here for Pete's sakes. This is such a beautiful representation of there are great things to do when you're not in front of the screen. But 2/3 of families are involved in community service. These are all the non-TV activities that we say pretty much everybody does in, you know, some form, some type of length of time. But I can safely say that television-free families do every single one of these and more. And these are your alternates to what you do if you're not. Unless somebody says something about one, I'm going to move right on.
I don't agree with house cleaning.
What was that?
We didn't have TV for a long time, so I thought, and we ended up 4K.
Okay, that was question number 26 on the survey. I wasn't going to say anything unless it came out. And believe me.
I just read your list. I think you said a few videos in the same. So that must be much of a topic.
Usually it jumps out pretty quick, but I try not to bring it up because then you get off on a whole nother thing. But anyway, it's very true. One woman reported, "The worst single choice I ever made was getting my husband cable for his birthday. Now there are woodworking, gardening, quilting, cooking, and home improvement shows on for 24 hours a day. If we weren't watching these shows, we would probably be woodworking, gardening, quilting, cooking, and improving our home." So another question, do they substitute computer and internet use for TV? Surprisingly, the computer did not take over the TV role in most homes. And remember, this survey was done about 13 years ago, but still 98% of the families did own computers. The average computer recreation time per week was only 1 to 3 hours, which was kind of shocking.
It's changed.
Yeah.
Is that different than computer business then?
You know, this would have been recreation, so this would be outside of their work. I'm sure, 12 years ago, I was on my computer all the time at work, so I'm sure that's not included. This is recreation time.
Well, I should say not business, but like chores, like paying your bills online.
Good question. There's really no way of knowing when I'd ask that question. It's a very good question. But the point of it was only 10% felt they used the computer too much. So again, take into consideration a bit of time here, yet they were very computer savvy. And a little side note on this, a lot of the kids, TV-free kids, they were involved in documentaries, movie making, like things at school and things with photography. So they seemed to be pretty media savvy that I could surmise. Several parents commented, "All I know for sure is when I'm hounded by doubts about my parenting or decisions over the years, the one thing I'm certain we did right was raise our children without TV." So another question, did they feel they're missing out on anything? The vast majority, you could practically hear them laughing at me in their response. They're going like, "Are you kidding?" They felt the TV watching families were the one missing out. 92% of parents said their children never or rarely complained about lack of television, which was surprising to me. I thought there'd be a little more complaining. Oh, a question? No. Okay. Oh, okay. 75% of parents said their children are absolutely not or not really missing out on something. And this was an interesting one. Commercialism and advertising were certainly not missed. Only 5 of 100 kids asked for brand names or toys, and TV-free children had shorter Christmas lists. And this came up over and over, especially from families who had TV and then all of a sudden, for some reason, decided to go off it. And they found out their kids would say, "Well, I want Santa to surprise me." Or, so they weren't inundated with, "You gotta have this, this is what you need to have fun," and all that. So that was interesting, and some people were very, very adamant about that is the single reason they didn't own a television was the commercialism portion.
I did a variation on that when my kids were younger. I only allowed them to watch TV channels that had no commercials, so they were allowed to watch PBS.
Good for you.
They still call me the video game Nazi.
Yeah.
They didn't know any of the references, and they, as they got older, they did complain about that. But and as they got older, I broke down. But, but when they were young, until they were like 8 or 9 years old,
right? Well, that's the very significant years too. Kind of reminds me of my daughter talking about, "Oh, Mom, you're getting another succumentary." I got lots of documentary, but anyway. So when did we become this nation of spectators? Why did we sit? And here, 1949, here's a great quote that says, "The advent of television's presence will enhance the family togetherness and provide one of the few opportunities to increase the common experience of being together." Well, within actually 6 months from this quote, when things were introduced, there were already people going, "Oh man, this isn't what we thought it was going to be." And yet, don't get me wrong, tell you guys that first off, I'm not a kill your TV person. I will never have a bumper sticker like that because, there are some marvelous things that it can do. When I grew up, we sat around Sunday evenings watching the Disney movies, and my mom made popcorn, and we had sliced apples and 7-Up, and I would float my popcorn in the 7-Up. I mean, I have these great memories of this togetherness. And I wouldn't even done this study unless I'd read some things that said, well, an average kid spends 900 hours a year in school and 1,400 hours a year watching TV. And the idea of 60% of dinner hours are accompanied by television, and you know, on and on and on. I wasn't aware it had gotten so bad, and 3.5 televisions or more in every house, and everybody has them in their own rooms. You know, it's very different than what I'd call the great television era that could still happen. And some people still do this, and it's a great experience. I always say, no research has shown that 2 hours of television is going to hurt anyone unless the television falls on you, which is true. But it's the fact that it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, more is why I'm giving you this talk, really. So this is kind of interesting. A few little facts. This was a study done with 26,000 people. Actually, it was through a Reader's Digest program several years ago, that said 1 in 4 people would not give up their television for $1 million. I bet you wish they would have asked.
Yeah.
Man, I say this to my students, I'm like, yeah, I would have done it. It's the reasons, you know, it's easy and affordable. It seems to feel good, or does it? Now, a professor friend of mine, John Hammermeister, who's in health communication, we did a survey about 6 years ago, and he had several psychosocial tests, 5 tests to be exact, and we had 100 individuals who watched less than 2 hours, 100 watched 2 to 4 hours, and 100 watched 4 to 4 hours and more. And in every one of these measures, loneliness, depression, shyness, poor body image were increased in direct proportion to the number of hours watched. And that was kind of a shocking thing. That got in a few journal communication and all that. So, you know, it feels good, seems to, but when you're gone from it, or maybe you've sat down to watch one show and you ended up 4 hours later getting up and going to bed, it's like, oh, you know. So those things happen too. Dark side of our choices, of course, everything's linked to inactivity and obesity, aggression, violence, apathy, loss of self-esteem, inability to solve boredom, addiction to watching. This whole topic was on the cover of Scientific American about 5 years ago, and it was just called Addicted to TV, and it reaches 5 of the 6 criteria for addiction. So people, Robert Kuby, Mahali Csikszentmihalyi are some big names in psychosocial research that all jumped all over this. They said television is the 800-pound gorilla of so many of these social problems in our living room. So here's the real deal. You know, I put 14 and a half years of life because that's actually how much life you would spend watching TV if you watched the average amount from birth to age 65. I mean, that's, you know, 3 college degrees. You know, that's training for Olympics, writing a novel. I mean, think of the languages you could learn. So, you know, you just have to make yourself think, what are the things I'm not doing when I'm watching? And that's enough to go, ew, sobering. So simply put, it's the loss of time, very precious time, and there are no refunds with those 24 hours you get every day. So a couple things, I might just throw these out. These are some real current statistics, and a website I'll give you at the end is it's called commercialfreechildhood.org, and I'll make sure you get this information, but they are a fabulous organization. A woman who's a philosophy professor at Harvard is heading it up. Susan Lin is her name, wonderful lady. And a few statistics on here. I just picked a dozen or so to read you real quickly. This is about children and screen media. Time with screens increases rapidly in the early years. Between their first and second birthday on any given day, 64% of babies and toddlers are watching TV and videos about slightly over 2 hours a day. 36% of these children between their first and second birthday have a TV in their bedroom. Screen time can be habit forming. The more time children engage with screens, the harder time they have turning it off as they become older children. And including when they're multitasking, 8 to 18-year-olds consume an average of 7 hours and 11 minutes of screens a day. an increase of 2.5 hours in the last 10 years. For older children and adolescents, excessive screen time is linked to increased psychological difficulties that include hyperactivity, emotional conduct problems, difficulties with peers, and poor school performance. Jumping down a little bit, children from low-income families, less than 30,000 annually, spend more time with television and videos and have bedroom television rates more than three times higher than children from middle and upper-income families. But it did find out children from all income levels spend about the same time playing games on video games. Childhood obesity, some links here. For every hour of television viewing per day, children consume an additional 167 calories. And Dimitri Christakis is a pediatrician who's done a lot of screen research, and he's done some tremendous reports on this too. One's called An Elephant in the Living Room. And all of these statistics, I'll tell you where to find them, but they're very much documented in the back and very good, reputable resources where they've come from. So if you're interested ever in pursuing it or kind of backing up some statements you might share with your friends, it's all here too. Bedroom televisions are associated with obesity risk in children of all ages. Children who own active video games such as the Wii, which, you know, was touted to be a really wonderful thing. And again, I'm in the field of recreation. We had some state parks and local parks putting in Wii fitness centers and thought, oh, cool. It says they do not show any increase of physical activity in children as a whole. So that's been researched a bit now. Screen time for children under three is actually linked to irregular sleep patterns and sleep disturbance. The more time preschool children spend with screens, the less time they're engaged in creative play. You guys, you all know that. Constructive problem solving and creativity. Even when parents co-view, they spend less time talking to their children when they're engaged than when they're engaged in activities. So the screen time for babies in preschool is negatively associated with the time they actually spend with them. Toddler screen time is associated with lower math and school achievement, reduced physical activity, victimization by classmates. We've got psychological difficulties, hyperactivity, emotional conduct problems with those children who watch two or more hours a day. And session three will be dealing with some reduced screen time, and I'll share a few more with you. So it's kind of scary. You know, these are very current statistics, and again, I almost wish I didn't have to read them to you, because it's, I kept thinking things are going to turn around and change a lot more, but I think it's time to get involved a bit more, you know, with your families, your coworkers, people you know that might be able to be movers and shakers. Are screens interfering with your social interactions? I've taught college students for over 30 years, and you know, you're just so aware of influences. Huge article last year on, is Facebook making us lonely? This is probably a pretty familiar site almost wherever you go. Not Holden Village, I tell you. But I think Vern and I were in Sweden. I got to present over there this research, and I saw a woman flying down a commuter lane with heels, a black dress on, no helmet, smoking a cigarette, and talking on her cell phone. Do you see this a lot? I mean, it kind of give me a nod if you're kind of aware people you're hanging around doing this a lot more. You know, I wanted to kind of get your feedback a bit on if you see it as an issue, if you're wondering what it is you can do about it. I still have a ton of research. I've really whipped through it here to show you a few things that the book was about. Which, I forgot to bring, but it's a pretty good read. It's not all research. It's kind of funny. There's some great stories of, tons of stories of people, both poignant and funny. In particular, I remember there were basically four reasons people turned off their TV. One was some disaster like an ice storm or a hurricane or the power goes out. Or maybe they were challenged by the National TV Turnoff Week, which is now in the spring and the fall, and they realized it wasn't as bad as they thought. And another reason was that they grew up with too much TV. And that was, to me, the most sobering one. One young lady commented that her dad got home on the 5:32 subway every night from somewhere in New Jersey, and he had two martinis and watched 2 hours of TV before he would talk to anybody. So she grew up hating television, and whoa, can't even imagine. And their only times they had fun as a family was on vacation, like a place like Holden, probably. Other people grew up with no TV, so they continued that in their life. And then the fourth factor was where my husband and I kind of fall into, and I think a few other people I talked to, maybe it was you, Michael, who said we didn't really make a conscious decision. We just kind of, we were busy in our lives and sort of forgot to get one, and that's how it came with us. I had a friend who asked me, how do you keep my kids off this particular DVD, this cartoon or something? I go, well, I don't have a VCR. They go, you don't have a VCR. I go, well, I don't have anything to plug it into. It was like, you know, they go, oh, and I just zipped it up. You know, I really didn't talk about it with friends because we secretly thought it was great choice. The kids were so much more active on that side. So those were kind of the reasons people did it. And I just thought, at this point we got about 12 minutes left, and I'd just love to hear some of your comments before I give you a 1 minute preview of Wednesday and Thursday's comments. So yeah, go for it.
Have you seen any indication that that people are just bored with what's on there and they give it up? And in other words, the quality or the stuff that's on TV, we just don't find interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100
so
channels and nothing's on.
Yeah, so we'll pick up the news and really in jeopardy, you know. That's about it.
Right.
Everything else is just, I'm interested in that.
You know, the only particular study, I remember a woman saying, when was there something called 30 Rock?
Yes.
Yeah.
She said when it went off air, she got rid of the TV because she thought it was the only good thing on there. So, you know, some people would... too much commercialism would probably fall into that same category of just the programming. They just didn't like it anymore.
Now some of the things you were talking about, it made me wonder, is, you know, maybe your study didn't delineate this part of it or whatever, but is it just the screen time or whatever, or is it the commercials and things like that that are... Is there any difference between, well, for example, watching a movie
Netflix
or something like that, or watching commercial television, or playing a video game? You know, are there any studies about that kind of, you know, seeing if maybe some of the
some better screens than other screens,
or just kind of if they're worse with commercial television, or I don't know.
Well. The pediatricians are really all over this. There's so many archives of pediatric medicine and AMA. They're just really big on, they don't want any TV till the kid's two, and then less than 2 hours a day till they're 11. And that's really linked to commercialism and the high sugar, high fat, the 147 calories per hour, basically, they've kind of filtered that. So there they could jump on that. I mean, the other, like I said earlier, 2 hours a day really isn't going to hurt anybody. So in moderation, it's fine, but it's the time spent sitting, time spent eating that would correlate with the higher levels.
Yeah, you oftentimes eat more when you're watching television than you would just sitting down at the table.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I love, you know, popcorn and movie. I mean, you just do. Yeah. But nobody really points fingers at don't watch movies or don't watch documentaries, or, you know, I would never promote that because there are wonderful things to learn. But on the other hand, when a TV-free family, a typical one, hears, yeah, you could watch 2 hours a day, they'd say, what am I going to give up to watch 2 hours a day? And we get these two Netflix a month, which is really fun because there's a huge choice. We'll sometimes have that movie sitting on the desk for 2 weeks before, I just need to have 2 hours to watch it, you know? So it's kind of fun to get a series, TV special, so you just have to sit there for 30 minutes to watch it or take a little thing. So I don't know if that helped answer your question at all, but if not, keep going. Go ahead.
I've
I watch plenty of TV, for sure. But I noticed that living at Holden, when I go back home, it looks pretty ridiculous.
Oh, very good.
But I have my granddaughter living at my house. My daughter's family lives with me right now. And my granddaughter has transitioned from going to a preschool, a really good one, to being at home during the day. Mm-hmm. And so she started watching a lot of television. And there are a couple of things I've noticed with her. One is, and this has been long term, some of the programs she watches are supposed to be really great for kids, but their use of the English language is not always correct.
Wow.
And so she's learned some speech patterns that I wish she didn't have.
Oh, interesting.
Secondly, if she goes to watch TV and I get kind of sick of it, well, if it was my program, I wouldn't get sick of it. But since it's her program, I'm getting sick of it. I tell her, we're not going to watch television today. And she just sort of looks at me and goes, oh, okay. And then she goes off and plays. So for her, that works. And the other thing was about eating. When she's watching television, she wants to snack all the time. All the time. And if she's outside playing, you know, it can be late morning, then I'll say, have you had a snack yet? No.
Well, those are excellent observations and very much backed up. In tomorrow's or Wednesday's session about the kids, I'm going to bring up a few of the things that parents believe about educational television that haven't proven to be very true. But the idea that kids aren't the problem. And when I've talked to a lot of big groups, I've sort of pointed out it's not the kid that buys the TV for their room. And it's not a very popular thing to say. And, you know, a lot of parents, really gets down to it, they wanted to watch their shows. So, and that's kind of scary to say. But you're right. The kids will love it. Parents think it's going to be a terrible, all this work and all this stuff, but, you know, they have no idea until they try it that it's actually makes life a lot smoother. A couple other things. Go ahead.
I think that so many times what has happened is that TVs, video games, DVD movies have become child care providers.
Absolutely.
The parents are exhausted, are tired, and I know when I babysat for my great nieces and nephews, it's pop a movie in or they won't go to sleep.
I think that's where that income level one would definitely come across with, rather than a dance class or whatever else, that those 2 to 3 hours a day spent.
Yeah, that's spot on. Yeah. Very good observations. Yeah, very true. Somebody else had anything?
I wonder if you made any difference between the commercial TV here in America and because it is really a marketing tool for all the products.
Absolutely true.
If you take the time what you watch commercial and what you want to watch, there's no relationship.
Right. And that the website I mentioned to you that's called commercialfreechildhood.org is a fabulous resource for how to let people know that get this commercial.
But
model it after more European. There's so many good things going on as far as limitations of what they can sell children. But children have become this huge, huge market that is just, 500 times more than it was even 15 years ago.
That's all it is. Now, I get angry at TV. That's why I don't have one.
You didn't throw a shoe through it, did you? Like one of your clients
did? No, I just said out the door. Okay. I had one for Alaska because I saw winter would be terrible there without entertainment. But watching just anything on commercial TV, you watch what you don't want to watch.
Yeah.
It's forced feeding the wrong stuff.
Yeah, it's marketing in a huge, huge way. Let me do this. I'll maybe even give you a little more time. This is all I wanted to give you, these two websites. a real point from me talking to you all, which, like I said, preaching to the choir, you're always very much aware of the benefits of screen time. And I want to know, if you come back on Thursday, that's the session where we're going to talk about ways to reduce, ways to help others to reduce. I'd like to hear some of your post-Holden experiences, because I'm sure that any kind of a turn off, whether it's 7 days or 30 days or whatever, can result in a few changes. These are the two websites, commercialfreechildhood.org, and the WABAN is the Washington Active Body, Active Mind.org website. And I worked with University of Washington on a grant they did a few years ago, and they took some of this research and materials. And again, the next two sessions, I'll talk a bit more about WABAM there. And I have a handout for you. I just made about 10 handouts, but I could make a few more if I maybe get an indication of who might come Thursday. This is tomorrow's. Oh, yeah, this is after life at Holden Village. Do your screen habits change? Find out more when I'm going to give you a 7 days live challenge on Thursday. I'm going to also talk about 7 days live and 30 days live, which was a really fabulous, fun, wonderful project I did with about, I think there were 350 some kids involved, where they turned it off for 30 days with their teachers in school.
Oh,
it was very cool. So Wednesday's session is about TV-free kids. And I actually, kind of before I retired, I thought, oh, I'll do kind of one last swan song, because I was tired of this research and I've been talking about it for all these years. So I tried to get a hold of the kids of the TV-free families in my 2001 study. And I did, and have about 60 young adults who are all between 19 and 25, just did this last year. So you'll hear the results of a 12-year longitudinal study. The point was, all the parents loved doing it. They knew it was the best choice they'd ever done. But I thought, what about the kids? You know, you ask them again if they could do it all over again, what would they say? And I had to admit, I was a little worried about doing this study, because, you know, we made the choice to not do it, and I thought, maybe we really screwed up. Maybe our kids, maybe they're all ostracized, and they're all, so wait, that's going to be Wednesday. I'm not telling you anymore what happens. And then Thursday is the final one here, tips to a more fulfilling life with less screen time. Again, my goal is to give you guys some resources that you can go and maybe kind of share some facts and statistics. Because if you're like me, if I go talk to my friends about it, I just can't do it. I mean, it's so it's such a personal choice. But if you can kind of weave in a few pretty sobering facts about children today, for example, 90% of children's playtime today is inside. They're not going to save beautiful places when they grow up, because they don't know them.
There's so many complications to some of this. I mean, I'm just thinking of the kids that are living in some city neighborhoods that is too frightening to go outside. So they have to stay inside in the summer because their parents are too scared for them to go outside to play, because they. So that, I mean, there's so many little things.
You're right, so many variables. Like, it's not an easy choice. But Sarah, I'm glad you brought that up, because to tie in what Michael said about fear, we have this fear-laced society. A very interesting study in Atlantic Monthly several years ago now wrote, it was an article called "The Man Who Counts the Killings," Scott Stossel. And he said, even with, you know, the crime rates and, you know, the things going on and kind of how they've been the last 30 years, he said television is still portrays life 100 times more violent than it really is. So rightly so, parents are afraid, even though it's really not true. But who's going?
Well, it is true in some aspects of some cities.
Sure.
And some portions of cities.
Right, right.
And other neighborhoods too are things, but. It is dangerous out there.
I venture to say, not as dangerous as portrayed in the media. But you're right. I mean, there's who wants to be the one that their kid, something happens, on a playground or something that's an awful thing. But anyway, yeah, good stuff. I hope I see a lot of you Wednesday, and maybe hear some stories about your kids too, if some of you have this screenless. Thank you.